Well, today is October 3rd, and the date of October 3rd holds a special meaning to me. You see, back when I was growing up, one of the things I owned was a simple label maker. It was a fairly simple contraption that was more akin to a typewriter or something like that than the more modern digital label makers that print out on a digital strip of paper. The way it worked was that it came with a roll of thick plastic that you could sort of press these stamps that had little letters on the backside of them that were reversed, and then you would press it really hard, and it sort of would discolor the plastic roll and make letters appear on the other side. It was a fairly time-consuming thing to actually type out a message on because you would type out each letter individually, and I was pretty young, and I wasn't very strong with my fingers or my upper body, so I would have to press it really hard to make it come through on the other side. But I did manage to type out one lengthy message out onto it, and I stuffed this message into my Bible along with the pages and pages of sermon handouts and wads of bulletins and Sunday school papers that my mom didn't manage to snag and throw away in a futile attempt to fix the inevitable handout hoarding problem that church-going kids seem to always unintentionally face. This particular label that I put in between the pages of my NIV Kids Bible alongside a passage that I deemed would help emphasize the significance of the message that I had typed out on it. This passage was John 3:16, and the label itself had the phrase on it, October 3rd, 2000, I asked Jesus into my heart. A lot has changed in the 21 years since then, and somewhere along the way, I either lost this label or stuffed it away somewhere really safe, somewhere so safe that I can't find it anymore. Didn't throw it out. Threw away those Sunday school handouts, though. But the central message that, for what I type, still remain, which is that my name is written in heaven. And this is a very important blessing and one that we all share and we find very important, but it's far from the only blessing that's given to those who believe. My personal scripture reading has brought me around to Matthew recently, specifically in Matthew 5, which has a section known as the Beatitudes, or blessings that we have in Christ. So let's read Matthew 5, 1 through 12. It's titled The Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, verse 1, seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Something interesting that I noticed about this passage is that there are certain blessings that have qualifiers and certain ones that don't have qualifiers. Not all of the blessings specifically seem to be heavenly in nature. So I wanted to sort of go through each one individually and look at them one at a time from a different perspective each time. So first let's look at the blessings and see how many are heavenly in nature versus how many are earthly in nature. The first one is the poor in spirit are given the kingdom of heaven. That's pretty heavenly. The kingdom of heaven's heavenly. All right. People who mourn are comforted. There's no qualifier here for when the comfort's actually going to be or when the mourning's actually going to be. It could be heavenly, and we are promised heavenly comfort, but it could also be immediate comforting that's happening. The meek will inherit the earth. This one sort of depends on your interpretation, and it runs contrary to how most people view the current world, because the people we see in power aren't usually the most meek of people. They're usually the more prideful or the least meek people you could possibly imagine. So this one could refer to the new earth, or it could be metaphorical. My guess is the former, which would place it in the heavenly blessing category. The next one is, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. There's no qualifier here for when this filling is going to happen. My understanding is that he means it's immediate. Hunger is also ongoing, so that he could also mean that it's continual in that sense. But it seems earthly in that regard. The next one is, the merciful will be shown mercy. This could be a basic declaration of karma. It could also be referring to heavenly judgment, or in my interpretation is that it's more of a combination of both of those. The pure in heart will see God. There's no qualifier here. It could be earthly or heavenly. I'm personally of the opinion that the purest people can see God very clearly, even on an earth that is sinful. The peacemakers will be called sons of God. There's no qualifier here either. If we're declared sons of God here on earth due to our peacemaking efforts, then we're a witness to those around us. Maybe our efforts are either invalidated or not recognized here, in which case heaven will offer clarity that the earth failed to grasp. The persecuted will be given the kingdom of heaven. Well, this reward is entirely heavenly. The insulted have a reward in heaven. That reward's also entirely heavenly. Another important thing I noticed was that all these blessings, not all of the blessings, were conditional upon something that's within our own personal control. The poor in spirit. Jesus was referring here to someone who feels downtrodden and sees no relief here on earth. This seems conditional on not being overcome by pride, but there's not really another condition for that. People who mourn. That generally happens when circumstances are outside of our control. We can mourn mistakes we ourselves make, but more often we mourn either loss or mourn the state of the world that needs a savior, that sort of thing. Meekness. Though some people obviously come more meek than others, we can cultivate the right mindset that allows us to be more receptive to the Holy Spirit and his prodding in our lives that will make us more meek and less prideful. But ultimately, that's something we can't force upon ourselves. That's more of someone we are rather than something we do. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Similar to meekness, this is primarily a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Merciful. This is the first blessing that Jesus mentions that directly requires our conscious choice in order to be merciful and to show mercy to others. Purity in heart. The choice of words here is really interesting because Jesus doesn't require purity of mind or purity of thought or purity of action. He talks about purity of heart. A purity of mind or something would require conscious choice. I'm sure all or most of us would fail at that. Purity of heart would be much deeper and much more susceptible to the prodding of the Holy Spirit. Sort of like meekness or hungering and thirsting for righteousness, we should seek to cultivate this in our lives, but it's more a matter of who we are than what we do. Peacemakers. All right, this one does require some hard work and some patience, as I'm sure anyone with a family could tell you. Persecution. This is one that we're not really able to control. Persecution is an entirely external force forcing inwards on us. Same thing with the insults that he talks about in the later part of the passage. The next part that I thought about with this passage was that the qualifiers Jesus used. Were there any qualifications you had to use in order to had to have in order to attain these blessings, or how the blessing is specified? For example, poor in spirit. There's no qualifier here beyond in spirit. So this blessing isn't for people who are poor in mind or poor in material possessions or that sort of thing. The next one is mourning, which has no qualifiers at all. It's just blessed are those who mourn. So whatever causes the mourning is guaranteed to both be able to be comforted and to actually be made right. The next one is blessed are the meek, which has no qualifiers at all. The next one is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So here's our first qualifier that is really obvious and stands out. Our hunger and thirst must be directed at righteousness in our lives. We can't expect hunger and thirst for personal gain to always work out, because that's not what this blessing is about. This blessing is specifically the blessing of being filled, which pertains to a constant seeking of righteousness in the eyes of God. It's not about attempting to fix the world or the people around us. It's about seeking and yearning for God to fix ourselves. The next one is, blessed are the merciful. A qualifier here would actually make this one a lot easier, because blessed are the merciful in certain instances. Blessed are the merciful because who are only merciful to these people. No, it's just blessed are the merciful. We are called to show mercy regardless of the circumstance and regardless of the offense that's causing us to need to show mercy. Next one is, blessed are the pure in heart, which, as mentioned before, has nothing to do with purity of mind. It has everything to do with our actual intentions, and oftentimes it requires a lot of prayer and soul searching to find out what these true intentions actually are. It's also not purity of speech or actions. Although our speech and our actions are windows into our hearts, they're not the driving forces behind it. Next one is, blessed are the peacemakers, which is another one that a qualifier would be really nice for. We are called to be peaceful and to spread peace wherever we go, just full stop. The next one is, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. The qualifier here is because of righteousness, which is very important. We can't expect any persecution whatsoever to cause us to be rewarded with the kingdom of heaven. If we're persecuted because of poor opinions, that's entirely our fault. If we're persecuted because of political views, that's also entirely our fault. This blessing refers specifically to persecution because of righteousness, which suddenly makes it harder to define. Who would persecute someone for doing what is right? Jesus isn't referring to that here. He's referring to persecution not because of doing what is right, but because of being righteous, which is a tall order. Lastly, he says, blessed are those who are insulted or persecuted or have lies levered against them because of me. This qualifier here is very important, because of me. There are a lot of reasons to insult Christians. We have weird political views a lot of the time. We take time out of a perfectly good weekend to dress up, sit around in buildings and talk to each other, that sort of thing. Again, Jesus isn't referring to any of that. The qualifier he's using is because of me, meaning the complaint about us has to be specifically related to Jesus himself and our portrayal of him to those around us. It's very as a Christian to be insulted or persecuted for completely different reasons, but don't conflate that for what Jesus is talking about. Another thing we can look at here is attainability. After all, what good are blessings if it's too difficult for us to reach them? The first one is, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. I think we've all felt downtrodden at some point. A lot of us probably feel that way right now. So that's fairly easily attainable. Next one is, blessed are those who mourn. That's pretty much everyone. We've all mourned at some point in our lives. Blessed are those who are meek. This one's an area we can work on if it's one we struggle with. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I think we're all here because we feel that to some degree. That's certainly something we can improve on, though. Blessed are those who show mercy. This one is also an area we can work on if it's one we struggle with. Blessed are the pure in heart. Uh-oh. At first, this one seems impossible when you measure purity by God's standards. But the blessing itself has to do with seeing God, which we're also promised elsewhere in Scripture without any requirements attached to it. So, in my view, this blessing is twofold. Firstly, God views us as pure in heart, and secondly, we're promised to see him because of that. Blessed are the peacemakers. This one's a conscious choice. We can choose to bred dissent and anger wherever we go, or we can choose to spread peace and love as the Bible teaches it. Blessed are those who undergo persecution. This one depends on societal culture a lot, and some of it is personal choice for how far we're willing to go for God, and some of it's entirely outside of our control. Blessed are you when people insult you. This happens to every Christian and will continue to happen as long as Satan rules the earth. So what does all of this mean? First of all, know that you're blessed. Jesus could have started his Sermon on the Mount any other way. And this is a very long sermon where he talks about a lot of different things. He calls out Pharisaical views. He talks about how to treat other people. He has a lot of teachings here. In parts of the sermon, he calls out people for their pride and their misguided attempts at following God that were inherently self-centered instead. But he chose to lead it all off with blessings, firstly because he saw the crowds as lost sheep without a shepherd, as we're told in other passages, but secondly because he knows that we need to understand the blessings he has for us from time to time. Not all of them are for this life. Not all of them are immediately obvious for how to attain them, but similarly, some of them are freely given to everyone who believes. And perhaps most importantly, this list of blessings is not exhaustive. This is just an introduction to set the stage for the other teachings Jesus gave for this one particular sermon. There are other blessings in other parts of Scripture. But my sermon's done, so let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for all the blessings you've given us in Christ. Thank you for reminding us of these blessings and how to behave around other people, how to show your love to them, how to love our neighbors, which is your commandment to us. Thank you for all that you've given us to us unconditionally as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.